Pope Benedict's encyclical Ex Quo on the Eucologion, March 1, 1756 to bishops and priests of the Greek Rite, containing certain admonitions concerning the ceremonies contained in the Eucologion, the book containing the rites of the Greek churches. To the archbishops, bishops and other clerics, secular and regular, of the Greek Rite who enjoy favor and communion with the Apostolic See. 1. Venerable brothers and beloved sons, we give you greeting and our apostolic blessing. Ever since we first became Pope, we have proven our fatherly love in embracing in Christ our beloved Eastern clergy and people, the Uniates as they are called, who are in agreement with us and are free from the stain of schism. We have made every attempt to induce the schismatics to abandon their errors and join us in Catholic unity. We do not intend to recall here all the measures we took for this purpose, since the records of the Congregation for the Propagation of the Faith are filled with our decrees on this subject, and everyone can refer to our apostolic letters and constitutions on Eastern affairs in the volumes of our Bullarium. Our present purpose is to inform you that the work of correcting the Greek Eucologion is now completed. It has already been printed by the press of the Congregation for the Propagation of the Faith following a lengthy scrutiny of every detail and most careful correction. Consequently, we exhort you to set aside previous editions which have been found to contain too many different errors, and to use this edition in sacred rites. The errors of former editions, however, are not to be wondered at, for errors are readily made whenever the same work goes through many editions and the editors do not exert the strictest care. Such care is necessary to prevent the repeated insertion or addition of matters which are not found in the earliest and most faithful editions, whether through deceit or ignorance. Then, since these errors have to be excised or somehow restrained, corrections and new editions more faithful to the original eventually are necessary. This has obviously occurred in the Western Church too, even though it is not as subject to these errors as the Eastern Church. Accordingly, the Roman pontiffs have often had to see to it that missals, rituals, breviaries, and martyrologies were newly issued in improved editions after appropriate corrections. In regard to the corrections of your Eucologion, which, as you well know, is no more than the collection of prayers and blessings of the Church, and so with Gorgias we can appropriately term it the ritual, manual, sacerdotal, or pontifical of your Church, we propose to address two subjects in particular in this letter, namely, to set down first, the history of the new corrected edition which has just been completed, and then to expound in greater detail certain admonitions which have been suitably placed at the beginning of the Eucologion. We have postponed making known to you several other matters relating to the Eucologion itself. These could not properly be included in the present letter, since they would make it immoderately long and would impose excessive toil on us quite unsuited to our age, and not easily included with the other important concerns which particularly engage us at present in our apostolic ministry and cannot now be laid aside. Correction of the Eucologion to Philip IV, Catholic King of the Spains, towards the beginning of 1631, had recourse to the Apostolic See. He revealed that he had been informed by Greek Uniate inhabitants of this realm that a Eucologion containing many errors had been published by the Greek schismatics. He asked at that time for the application of appropriate remedies to this source of foolish confusion. At once Urbanate formed a special congregation for the correction of the Eucologion and personally appointed to it certain cardinals, prelates of the Roman Curia, and renowned theologians. At that time, he summoned to Rome others with a worldwide reputation for ecclesiastical learning, intending to appoint them also to this congregation. Among those summoned was Dionysius Batavius, a priest of the Society of Jesus living in France. However, he understandably excused himself from so long a journey because of his advanced age. Jean Morin, a priest of the Gallican Oratory, was also called to Rome. He attended many sessions and made many noteworthy proposals which aided the organization and direction of the undertaking. These we will discuss in another place. 3. The members of this congregation conscientiously undertook the work entrusted to them. Their careful work was approved by Leo Alacius, who wrote in a discussion of the Greek Eucologion, "I could relate and investigate many matters about the book, but since it is submitted to the censure and judgment of keen scholars, I wait for a true statement and an infallible verdict concerning it." They met indeed for 82 sessions, as was long ago affirmed by Cardinal Franciscus Barbarinus the Elder at the meeting of the Congregation for the Propagation of the Faith. Pope Innocent X attended this meeting on January 23, 1645, shortly after the death of his predecessor Urban, the uncle of this cardinal. Yet the correction of the eucologian was not finished, and the new edition could not be brought to completion. New congregation on the eucologian for. With succeeding popes, although the work was never completely abandoned, it proceeded slowly while, as often happens, its final conclusion was held up by the emergence of new and later business. But when God raised us to the supreme pontificate, among our first concerns was the correction of the books of the Oriental Church, particularly of the eucologian of the Greeks. So we soon gave the following orders, and were careful to have them carried out so that we might finally reach our desired goal. First, the transactions of the congregations which met in the reign of Urban VIII and his successors were collected and put in order to ascertain the form of those resolutions which had been adopted but not reinforced by papal confirmation, for apparently the popes had not condemned these resolutions but had deferred their consideration, possibly for good reasons, to more suitable times. Next, after the deaths of all who served on the congregation, we assigned other cardinals and consultors to press on with the important task. Among the cardinals who died were Antonio Xaverio Gentili, Filippo Monti, Giacomo Bisozzi, and Aloisio Lucini, in that order. As prefect of the congregation, we established the presbyter Cardinal Fortunato Tamberini, who is still living. As consultors we designated Brother Giuseppe Agostino Orsi of the Order of Preachers, the master of our apostolic palace, Leonard Sidra, a priest of the Society of Jesus, Domenico Vitali, a monk of the Order of St. Basil, Thomas Sergas, a priest of the Pious Workers, and Domenico Theoli, a Roman priest. Some of these are still living. Finally we are appointed as secretary of this congregation Master Niccolo Antonelli, our domestic prelate. All of these men were obliged to deal with the matters submitted to their judgment. This they did diligently for an entire 10 years. At the start a dispute arose as to the method to be followed in the investigating, some judging that the forms of the sacraments should be examined first, while others urged that matters relating to the duty of simple priests should be dealt with separately from those pertaining to bishops. We removed this problem by commanding that the revision and correction of the eucologian should proceed in stages from the first page to the following pages in the order in which the eucologian itself is arranged and printed. Finally we required the secretary of the congregation to produce an agenda before every session, for timely delivery not only to each of the cardinals and consultors who were to meet but also to us, since we wanted to know of every matter to be discussed in the congregation. In this agenda he was to list the headings of the questions to be brought forward, and to add notes on the considerations adduced and conclusions arrived at on these matters in the congregations of previous popes insofar as they had been dealt with in former congregations, followed by opinions on these questions from theological authors and ecclesiastical records. Secretary of the Congregation 5. It was unnecessary, as one would expect, to advise the secretary on the subject of examining and comparing old eucologia. He is expert in the Greek language, outstanding in sacred learning and teaching, and ready to undertake any great labor in obedience to and for the benefit of the apostolic see. He has often shown this on other occasions when affairs demanded it, and also by zealously publishing books. Everyone is aware that Father Jacobus Gorius of the Order of Preachers, a Frenchman by race, spent 8 years in eastern parts examining all matters closely, and then came to Rome about 1640. There he conferred at length with outstanding scholars and experts in Greek affairs, with Leo Alacius, a prelate of the Roman Curia, Basilio Falalesca, Procurator General of the Order of St. Basil, Giorgio Correggio, and Pantaleon Ligurio. Father Escher thus records this in De Scriptoribus Ordinis Predicatorum, Volume 2, p. 574. Finally he returned to France and published the Greek eucologian together with a Latin translation. The excellence of this work is enhanced by the careful learning with which the author examined and evaluated many manuscript codices and printed books, and criticized them in his preface to the reader. He added variant readings everywhere and occasionally inserted appropriate and learned notes. He first published that work at Paris in the year of the Lord 1647. It was reprinted at Venice in 1739. Importance of extant manuscripts of Old 6. Men of learning are also aware that several manuscript examples of the Greek Euclogion are preserved in the Vatican Library, and that the Library of the Barberini has the famous Euclogion Barberinums Marsi, so called because it was brought there long ago from the monastery of St. Mark at Florence. They know that this is more than 10 centuries old, since Leo Alacius testified that already in his day it was considered to be more than 900 years old by the greatest experts of his time. The Barberini Codex surpasses all the others in point of antiquity. It is a most accurate copy in square letters on parchment and was written more than 900 years ago in the opinion of those who are considered foremost in judging these matters. Learned men must also know of the precious codex preserved in the archive of the monastery of Grotta Ferrata, which is called the Euclogion Patriarchal. It was left to the monks of that abbey by the will of the great Cardinal Bisation, who was the first commendatory abbot of that monastery. He always regarded it very highly since he had received it as a gift from Cardinal Giuliano